forgiveness and guilt. What is guilt? Guilt is the burdened conscience. It's the consciousness that we have broken relationships. It's a dull, frustrating mental ache that accuses us. You've done what is wrong. You're not so great as you thought it was. You are doomed. The wages of sin is death. You have sinned. You are guilty. The end is oblivion. What has forgiveness to do with this? When the man says, I have sinned, when the publican cries out, have mercy on me, a sinner, when the criminal begs, remember me, remember me, then Jesus Christ forgives. He removes the guilt. He removes this foreboding. He gives a sense of well-being and peace, and above all, unity with the Savior. Part number 5. Mary Magdalene was a sinner. Jesus appeared to her and cast out devils. We are not told the occasions. We are not told the circumstances. We are not told the actual sins. But Jesus forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave till finally Mary came to accept him and herself and her mission. She was not affected by what others could think. She was going to do what is right. And Jesus appeared on the resurrection morning to comfort Mary, to dry her eyes, to entrust her lips with the story of the resurrection, and indicate to her that because he had forgiven her, she ought to forgive herself and live for him. So as a result of Christ's forgiveness, there must be self-acceptance transformed by grace. Part number 2. Satan often tempts guilty people to say that they can't change circumstances and to give up, sometimes to commit suicide. Remember Elijah's suicide prayer? Lord, take my life away. I'm hopeless. I can't do anything. I've failed you. If he'd only listened, he would have heard the movement of the horses of fire and the wheels of the chariot of fire around the corner. But because he was self-condemnatory, he couldn't accept the divine program. He said, I give up. I am hopeless. Take my life away. Self-pity, distrust of the power of grace, distrust in God's acceptance, leads to discouragement that looks at self, that looks at sin, and refuses to look at God. When God appears, then the vision is changed from self to the Savior, and guilt is displaced by acceptance. Part number 3. Sometimes guilt produces rebellion. Yes, we have done wrong. Conscience accuses us. We have done wrong. We have been very wrong. It seems to provoke us. Nothing else we can do, let's do greater wrong. And this is what Paul seems to have in mind in his warning to parents. Don't provoke your children. Don't tell them all the time they're no good. They can't do it. They're brainless. They're lazy. They come to believe they are brainless. They can't do anything. that they are useless. And so in rebellion, they go out and do what they can. Take the line of least resistance, destroy, finally destroy themselves. Too high expectations sometimes parents have. Here's a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 16-year-old. What do you expect of them? Do you expect the 4-year-old to do what a 16-year-old can? Do you expect the 16-year-old to do what a 30-year-old can? Too high expectations, too demanding, too critical, too little praise, too little acceptance, too little encouragement. Do not provoke, in case the feeling of guilt leads to defiance and rebellion. I can't do anything about it. Let's go and do what I can. Part number 4. I'm not so bad after all. By comparing ourselves with ourselves, which is not a wise thing, human beings can kid themselves. And then when they think that they are not too bad, no worse than the rest of the fellows, they give themselves license to continue. Sometimes they project onto others a problem that is on themselves. That's exactly what Ahab did. When he encountered Elijah, he says, "You are a troubler of Israel." Elijah wasn't even in Israel part of the time. He had escaped. Lived in a border area. Elijah was the troubler of Israel. So by accusing others, he thought he would cover up his own guilt. I am no worse than the other. They are the ones that are causing me to do this. These attitudes are symptoms of guilt for which forgiveness has not been made because the sins that prompt them have not been acknowledged. Part number 5. Superficial confessions of sin. Cheap repentance. Can you think of characters in the Bible that said, "I have sinned"? And really didn't mean it. Pharaoh told Moses, "I have sinned." Achan told Joshua, "I have sinned." Saul told Samuel, "I have sinned." Judas told Caiaphas, "I have sinned." They didn't really think they had sinned. They thought that was an easy way out. "I have sinned. I've done wrong. Sorry. I've done wrong. Forget it." A real repentance includes sorrow for sin that leads to a conscious turning away from a repetition of that act. It's a realization that what we have done is wrong in the sight of Calvary. We must admit that we were specifically in error. But when we say, "I have sinned, sorry, please forgive me," because the consequences have come upon us and we're trying to get it out, we're trying to restore cheaply a fractured relationship, then this kind of sin, this kind of confession, will not bring about any cleansing. Part number 6, focus of the week. The lesson has been about forgiveness and guilt. If we try to cover sin, we will not prosper. No cover-up ever prospers. We must confess and forsake. Now these characters that we mentioned, Saul, Pharaoh, Judas, Achan, these men never forsook. They never had any intention of forsaking. They covered up their real guilt, and so they were not forgiven. And because they were not forgiven, they eventually destroyed themselves. Pharaoh destroyed himself by rushing into the passageway in the Red Sea and being drowned. Saul destroyed himself by falling upon his own sword. Judas hanged himself. guilt will eventually destroy until the reason for the guilty feeling, the sin, is confessed and forsaken.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.